As I've matured in my ministry, I find myself assessing what I'm doing and what my main message is and, you know, whether I'm on target. It gets more and more real every day to me. I'm going to stand before Jesus and say, you know, I want to hear well done. Anybody else want to hear well done? And so, you know, and just assessing and asking the Lord for clarification and so forth. You know, it brings focus and meaning and direction and purpose to everything we do, whether it's preaching here, teaching here, ministering here, or, you know, out on the road, or as the Lord opens doors and so forth, other places. We're believing God for to get this message out. Amen. But first of all, we have to know what the message is. Amen. And so have been doing that. And one of the things that in doing that I have found myself doing is going back to, you know, kind of zooming out and looking at the big picture of how God has led us in our lives. And that is our spiritual lives primarily, not necessarily our personal lives and those things, but I'm talking about how he's led us in our spiritual lives and in the ministry and so forth. And to zoom out, the big picture is he took us to a Rhema Bible Training Center and connected us with a man who had experiences from the head of the church and assignments given from the head of the church. And the message that Brother Hagin received was, go teach my people faith. Yes. Amen. And that his mother, whenever he was yet still in his mother's womb, it wasn't born yet, but she was, I don't remember how many months pregnant, walking to her mother's house, Brother Hagin's grandmother's house, had a visitation from an angel, which shook her up. I mean, they didn't talk about stuff like that much. And when that experience happened, she didn't tell anybody but one person. I think she told her mother, Brother Hagin's grandmother. And that visitation, the angel said that he would take part in the last day's revival, that it would usher in the return of the Lord. Well, when I heard that, that reminded me of when God called me to the ministry. Amen. He said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. Amen. And then later, tell them to get ready and so forth. But he has really given me a lot more understanding of what that all means as the years have gone by. And because I seek him. How many of you know you got to seek him? I mean, seek and ye shall find, right? And so tonight, I want to sort of zoom in on, you know, well, I should say zoom out and kind of look at the big picture of why we're here, what Spirit of Faith is all about, and because that'll give meaning to what we do every service. It'll give meaning to what you're doing in Helps Ministry to help this ministry, to help this church, and because we're not just here to go through motions. We have an assignment from heaven. And when God connected us to Brother Hagin's ministry, he didn't just connect us so that we could catch a vision from another ministry, but catch a vision from the ministry he connected us to. Amen. 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 If you want to know what God has assigned and called you to do and emphasize, find out what God what the assignment is on the ministry he's connected you to. Amen. Amen. That shouldn't be a duh, but it is to some people sometimes. Amen. And then whenever, a month or 2 months or something like that before Brother Hagin went to heaven, God connected us with Dr. Dufresne. Just a couple of months, I think. Connected us to Dr. Dufresne. And the message, the ministry, the assignment on Brother Hagin, if you wanted to assess it, a lot of people don't see him as an apostle, but if you look in the Bible what an apostle is or was, because there are still apostles today, it is a sent one. Sent one with a message, sent one with an assignment to take a message. Brother Smith Wigglesworth was called an apostle of faith. Amen. The reason they called him that is because he was a sent one with the message of faith. Brother Hagin was also a sent one with the message of faith. Amen. And Rhema was all about raising up local church, raising up ministers to go out with this message and preach the faith, message of faith, and preach and raise up local churches, teach them to follow the Holy Ghost. Teach them to flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it takes faith to do that. Yes, amen. And to preach and teach the message of faith. Brother Hagin was an apostle of faith. Dr. Dufresne was an apostle of the Spirit. An apostle of the anointing. An apostle of the Spirit. But both of them carried a spirit of faith. Brother Hagin carried a strong spirit of faith. That just simply means, a spirit of faith means we believe and therefore we speak. He didn't say in that verse, 2 Corinthians 4:13, we believe and therefore we sit by and wait for the sovereignty of God. The spirit of faith acts on God's word and initiates the work of God that God already said he's laid up and made ready for us by grace. Today, people are preaching grace real strong, and there's a necessity to preach grace. However, people that preach grace sometimes forget to tell people there's a manward side to that.
That's right. Amen.
And that is that you use your faith.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody said, is this church in the grace camp or in the faith camp? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Without grace, there's nothing for faith to lay hold of. But without faith, no matter what grace did, it won't matter that God did it. You're going to have to lay hold of it. Somebody said, why? Because God's hard to get something out of God's hands? No, because the devil will oppose you. That's why. Amen. So you're going to have to learn to find out what grace has provided and then appropriate it by faith. Amen. And so, but whenever Brother Hagin went to heaven, in Brother Hagin's memorial service, which we went to, Brother Hagin's memorial service, the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me in my spirit, I don't mean audibly, but I just heard him talking to my heart. He said, keep on preaching faith. Amen. Keep on preaching faith. Teaching and preaching faith. Yes. I took preaching as teaching and preaching. Yes. Keep on preaching faith. He said, because the day will come when the message of faith will almost be as if it is a new message in the body of Christ. He said, even among people who call themselves word of faith. Now, that's been, Brother Hagin went to heaven in 2003. It's now 2019. That's 16 years. Am I adding correctly? 16 years ago, and already you're starting to see that. Already. Amen.
Amen.
So he said, and so that's what he said to me. Then whenever Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, the Lord spoke to me not long after that. I think it was like 3 months, October, November, December, January. So it was 2 months later. And he said to me, because I started praying real seriously, Lord, what do you want me to emphasize? I really miss Dr. Dufresne, and I was seeking God about some things. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a lot more to that. I don't think I've ever quite gotten that all out. There's a lot that he said to me about that. And so, well, the two main men that God connected us with that have gone on, now there's Pastor Nancy's still here, you know, with us, and I'm not talking about people that are here still with us, but I'm talking about that have gone on, that God connected us. Whenever they went on, God spoke to me about our assignment. That's serious to me. I pay attention to that. Amen. You remember recently I said, the Lord said he added an assignment to here to train up this congregation in the things of the Spirit, train them to walk in a faith for the move of the Spirit. He said, you've gotten the word into them in some other areas. Now start talking more about the word concerning the move of the Spirit. Amen. Was it last Wednesday night? There was a good move of the Spirit. We've had good moves of the Spirit. Even things that aren't like the hilarity, like Wednesday night. But I mean, Sunday we had a move of the Spirit. Other services, just good, constant move of the Spirit. But he said to me more recently, he said also the things of the Spirit, move with that and demonstrate that. And then teach on that. So people get hungry and that builds their faith. Remember Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? That your faith might not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. In other words, whenever the word of God is taught and demonstrated. See, he said, that's 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. My speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of men's wisdom. Speech and preaching, that's teaching and preaching. Was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. In other words, teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the Spirit and power. In other words, teaching on the Spirit, demonstrating the Spirit, and it builds people's faith. That's your faith. Might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's more to building people's faith than teaching on it and preaching on it. Amen. Demonstration causes people to begin to come to church expecting God to do something. Amen. And that's what he means by a spirit of faith. Not a textbook faith that's in our statement of faith that we believe in the move of the Spirit, but whenever he wants to move, we're like, no, we don't want to offend anybody. No, not that kind of faith. That's a dead faith. Am I making any sense tonight? But a spirit of faith. He said to me, and I like I said, I have never got this all out, but 2 Corinthians, whenever he spoke to me about, I want you to lead out in the spirit of faith, he said to me, that means, well, there's a lot more than I'm going to be able to have time to get into, but he said two main categories, that is. He said, number one, the way you lead in that is you live it yourself. Yeah. Live it. Live a lifestyle of faith. Amen. And that means never letting the flesh get comfortable. Yeah. But always reaching, always stretching. Always. I don't have time to get into that. I could get off for 3 weeks. But second of all, he said, the main assignment when it comes to the ministry, of course, the word is always primary when it comes to faith in the word. But he said, when it comes to ministry, he said, there's many that in the previous era that caught the message of faith in the word, but they missed the faith in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Trusting the Holy Ghost. See, that there can be no move of the Spirit if you don't trust Him when He starts moving. Trust Him enough to respond to Him. And He said, when it comes to ministry, that's your main assignment in the ministry, along with putting the Word into people. Amen. The whole gospel really is our assignment. But He said, I want you to demonstrate a different kind of faith. He said, there's many places that I'm not getting my way anymore like I used to when it comes to the moving of my spirit. And He said, I want you to lead out in helping to change that. Amen. Now, we're not the only ones. That's heresy. That's pride. That's all that's, you know, a bunch of junk. I understand that. But He's just telling me what my assignment is. And God's called us along people with along the side of people with similar calls. Hallelujah. My life is different because I believe the Bible. I got the word in my heart. I'm renewing my mind with it. I know who I am in Christ. I know the authority of the believer that's mine, because this is all the message of faith. The message of faith is the message of the authority of the believer. The message of faith is who you are in Christ. Because, I mean, faith in what? Faith in the word that says who we are in Christ. Faith in the word that says we have authority over the devil. Faith in the word that says by His stripes we're healed. Faith in the word that says that He always causes us to triumph. Amen. Faith in the word that says if I walk in love that I won't hinder my prayers. Yes, right. So walking in love is called the faith message. Amen. Faith works by love. So it's part of the faith message. And on and on and on. Anybody learning? Anybody understand what we're talking about here? So we're kind of zooming out tonight a little bit and looking at all this. And we're talking about what the assignment really is on our lives, and said, when Jesus said to me that at Brother Hagin's funeral and Brother Dr. Dufresne's funeral, He was reminding me of staying right on course with where we were raised up in the ministry. Too many people have changed messages. They said, well, that era is over. Wait a minute. It was an era of teaching, not a faith movement. It was a teaching movement. Why is it not a faith movement? Because the just, let me see if I can quote this right. Let me see, you check me on this if I'm quoting this right. The just shall have a movement concerning faith. Huh? What did I say wrong? Did I say, what did it say? The just shall what? No, not a movement. What did the Bible say? The Bible said they shall live. Live. It's not a movement, it's a life, it's a way of living. Yes. It's a way of living until Jesus comes. Yes. Some people almost, when you talk to them about faith, they almost act like you put a burden on them or something. Oh, do we have to live by faith? No, you get to. You used to have to walk by sight, now you get to walk by faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You get to have victory after victory after victory after victory. It's not a heavy burden you got to bear. Amen. So, when Jesus said that, both times whenever Dr. Frayn and Brother Hagin went to heaven, he was really reminding us, just stay with what I told you to preach. Now, let's look at that a little bit tonight. Let's go over to a couple of passages. Let's go to, let's see here, 1 Timothy, chapter number 6, first of all. 1 Timothy, chapter number 6, verse number 20. Paul is writing to one of his sons in the ministry that he's raising up in the ministry. And by the way, while you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, let me remind you that Paul said in these writings to Timothy, the things you've seen of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. In other words, preach what I preached. Amen. Sometimes Pastor Ike preaches and I tell him, that was really good. And he said, well, I just preached your notes. I said, well, no wonder it was so good. Somebody said, you're bragging. I'm not the originator of the message. Somebody said, you saying Brother Hagin is? No, Brother Hagin's not the originator of the message. The reason it's good is it's God's word. That's why it's good. So don't take me wrong whenever I said what I said. If it's good, it's God. If it's not, it's me. So Paul told Timothy, I got what I got from heaven. I was caught up to the third heaven. I heard this revelation. I got this revelation, and I'm out preaching it. Paul said, I committed it to you. Now you go commit it to other people. In other words, you don't have to come up with something new. Just preach what you've been entrusted with. Now, 1 Timothy 6, he said here in verse number 20, 1 Timothy 6, verse number 20, y'all still out there? He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, in other words, false science, which some professing have erred from what? The faith. Grace be with you. Amen. So when he said, keep that which is committed to thy trust, and avoid these other things, which causes people to get away from faith, he just told him what was committed to his trust. What was committed to his trust was the message of faith. Amen. You see that? He said, don't get away on these other things that get people out of faith, because the trust I gave you was the message of faith. Oh my, I wish I had another 3 hours tonight. In other words, what was committed to your trust was the message of faith. Remember, Paul said in Romans 10, 9, and well, actually 6, 7, 8, down through there, he talks about the word of faith which we preach. Huh? Am I talking about your Bible? Am I quoting your Bible? He said, that's what we preach. Someone said, what about grace? He said, we preach that also in other places. Actually, grace is who we are in Christ. That's the message of grace. Amen. Amen. That's right. See, that's what God did on his side. Yeah. Faith is what we do on our side.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
No revelation is complete until you know what your job is in it. What's your response to it? Amen. People today preach grace as if it's all up to God. It's all up to God. No, it's not. God has his side. He did his side. We need to renew our mind to what grace has provided, but then we need to preach faith, because it's faith that causes people to rise up and lay hold of what grace has provided. We need to preach grace and faith. That's another way of saying we need to preach who we are in Christ, and then we need to preach on the appropriation side of faith. Faith appropriates what God did in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. In this passage, he talks about in verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. speaking lies and hypocrisy and so forth and so on. We've already begun to see that. Amen. There's a lot of religiosity out there in the church world that doesn't have anything to do with faith. It's rituals and ritualisms and works. Amen. And so, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now go down to verse number 6. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Faith is good doctrine. Faith is good doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, the directive of the founder of the ministry that Pastor Debbie and I were sent to get assigned to go get raised up in the ministry under, the direct of that ministry was go teach my people faith. Now, sometimes people think that's a new message and it never was preached before. No, Paul preached it all the way back there. And actually, you look through history and men preached it all through history, church history, since the apostles. Men preached it all. Martin Luther preached it. Most of the denominations started out preaching it to one degree or another. Methodists preached it. Absolutely. Denominate the Episcopal Church. It started out without a revival. Amen. But see, they got away from what they were founded on. Amen. Don't shout me down, because and don't think I'm saying we're better than them, because we could do the same thing if we're not careful. In fact, some have. But whenever Brother Hagin was called, he said, go teach my people faith. Amen. Now, that wasn't just for him. That was an assignment for all those that God sent to get raised up under that ministry. God could have sent, like there are thousands of ministers that came out of that ministry, either trained by Raymond Bible Training Center or just by getting connected to that ministry and catching the message that was being preached in other ways, coming to the meetings or reading the books or whatever. And so, but that ministry was raised up with a message for the last days. The message didn't leave whenever Brother Hagin went to heaven. The message is still for us today, because the just shall live by faith. It's not a movement. It is a message. It is a way of life. And the message of the word never changes. Amen. And so that ought to still resound in us. That ought to ring in us. Go preach and go teach my people faith. Hallelujah. What has he raised us up for? To help other people get this message. It's appalling. How many of you know your relatives and friends and people around you still don't understand what you understand? We got to get it to them. We got to get it to them. That's what we're all about. Getting them this message that they don't have to wait on the sovereignty of God or something like that for God to do something. They can take God's word and stand on it, appropriate it, lay hold of it with their faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil with that verse that you're standing on, other verses you're standing on, and stand until you see what you're believing for. Amen. We got to get that message to people. Amen. It's not a hard message to preach. It's very simple. It just means walking by what God said rather than what you see or feel. Amen. And talking like it's so. Amen. Talking like God told the truth about it. Amen. Amen. So all of us that came out of Brother Hagin's ministry, whether it be Bible Training Center or just came up under, you know, sitting in the meetings or reading the books or whatever, we have something in common in our background and our training regarding the message of faith. And all the ministries that came out of Brother Hagin's ministry, there were thousands of us. Amen. But he pioneered ministering to people in these last days, in this generation, ministering to them by their faith. Now, I don't mean it's new to this generation, but I mean he got a hold of that message on his deathbed. What would have been his deathbed? He got a hold of this message and came off of that deathbed and lived and carried out the plan of God for his life and preached that message everywhere he went. But it wasn't just his assignment. God sending us there made it our assignment. Amen. Pastor Ike in Nigeria is preaching the message of faith. And that includes in Christ, that includes the authority of the believer and all that goes along with it. You understand the way I say that. I don't know about you, but I was sitting, you weren't in there, but I was sitting in Bible school. I'll never forget it, second year of Rhema, sitting there. And after a year and a half, I was probably about halfway through second year, about a year and a half of sitting in Bible school, I'll never forget it one day. I'm sitting in Brother Hagin's class. His class is called Faith Library. And I'm sitting there and hearing what he was teaching. And I kind of zoned out and kind of looked around at where I'm sitting. Not in the room, but I'm sitting in this kind of teaching. I'm sitting under the world, the leading ministry of the world at that time. And I'm sitting there in privilege to hear what I'm hearing, changing my life, renewing my mind, turning my life right side up. And I'm sitting there, I started getting nostalgic and weepy and thinking about it. And I really was. I was tears in my eyes just thinking about God, what God had done, bringing me out of the Mennonite church to sit in this world-leading ministry with this message. And I'm sitting there getting nostalgic, and I thought, what if he had quit? This is 1986, probably over into 87, beginning of 87, end of 86 or 87, somewhere in there, beginning of 87. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, you know, he's told those stories about preaching and they didn't give him anything to eat and they had one hot dog to split between themselves. What if he'd have said, that's it, I give up, I quit? That's back in the 50s. What if he'd have quit? He'd have never got to me. I'm sitting there so thankful that he didn't quit. So thankful God was faithful to him whenever he believed Mark 11, 23 and 24 that God raised him up from the deathbed. So thankful that he stayed with it and he used his faith and God was faithful to him. I'm so thankful that he didn't quit. And then the Lord started dealing with me. There's people that their life depends on you not quitting. And so that's why we're so strong on the message of faith. Because there's people we've got to reach that need to hear what changed our life, turned our life around, healed Debbie of an incurable disease. Transformed my mind. I was so messed up in my mind. And bound up in my thinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil hates this message. He's okay with religiosity. He's okay with traditions of men. He's okay that you pray. Just don't use your faith. That's whenever he gets nervous, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is what really sets people free. This is what really turns their life around. He doesn't care that they pray hours a day. If they don't use their faith, he doesn't care. Amen? So this message is a big deal. It's a big deal that others obeyed God and were faithful to bring this message to us. And it's a big deal that we don't quit. Anybody here thankful that somebody didn't quit? I'm thankful for those he used in my life that they didn't quit. I'm thankful for the people today are still preaching it. I was in because we have people that we associate with more than others, but there's more beyond just the ones we more directly associate with that are still preaching the message of faith. And really, to be honest with you, God's actually reconnecting us again with Brother Moore's ministry in a bigger way now again. And I was in one of his meetings in May, I believe it was, and he preached one of the best messages on faith I have ever heard. I came out of there saying, thank you, Brother Moore. Thank you for sticking with that message. Amen. I'd listened to him, you know, through the years over a little on YouTube, but just hadn't been as more directly connected. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Thanked him personally and appreciated it and told him I appreciated it. Told him I want to get in more of his meetings. God's dealing with us to get in more of his meetings. He said, well, come down to Florida in February. I said, yeah, I hear God. Yeah. What? And he said, it's the three F's. Florida. No, he said, faith, fellowship, and Florida. I said, I'm in. Praise the Lord. Little secret. I won't tell anybody, but I'm going to invite him to come. I want him to come. Amen. You believe God that the will of God will be done. I'm not manipulating him, but the will of God will be done. Hallelujah. So thank God. Thank God for the message of faith. Thank God for people that are preaching it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It affects us. It affects everyone in this room. It has affected us that they didn't quit. Somebody didn't quit. Amen. Not just a little bit. It affected us big time. Big time that they didn't quit. Can you say amen? Well, now you're there in that passage. If we went to 1 Timothy 4 and 1 Timothy 6. Let's go over to another passage of Scripture here in... Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. No, let's not do that. I'm trying to save some time. I'm not going to get this all out tonight. Why don't we just go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll look at several places in 1 Corinthians 9. Several places in 1 Corinthians. Here in chapter 9, we'll start. Verses 16 through 17. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 17. Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing that to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yet woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Now that word dispensation is, I would say, a little bit misleading in our translation, in the King James translation. You look it up in the Greek, and more newer translations actually translate it more accurately. King James translation was translated back in the 1600s. You realize that the Bible hasn't changed, but English words change. The English word dispensation is a little bit misleading. You look it up in the Greek, and the Greek word is borne out in a couple of these other translations. Like here's the Young's literal. He said, "With a stewardship I have been entrusted," rather than a dispensation of the gospel. He said a steward, that's the Young's. Amplified says, "I am entrusted with a sacred trusteeship and commission." Entrusted with a sacred trusteeship and commission. I like that. It's a sacred trust. I've been given a sacred trust and a commission. That's what Paul's talking about. And that's what the Greek bears out. Actually, that's more accurate in the Greek. Dispensation, we kind of think of the day of the church age and so forth. It's in that, but it's stewardship is a better word. All right, so are you with me? Now, let's go over to, you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's see if we can, or back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see if we can learn more about this. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. Let a man, how many of you know Paul wrote both of these letters? I mean the Holy Ghost inspired him, but you know what I mean. Paul's used of the Spirit. Verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Say stewards. Here he talks about what this sacred trust is. They are the mysteries of God. Now mystery, if you look through Paul's writing, the mystery is what was hidden from the foundation of the world but was revealed in Christ. It's the gospel. It's the message of by grace through faith. All that he got whenever he was caught up to heaven and heard unspeakable words, not possible for a man to utter. That's why he said, "Pray for me that utterance be given unto me." It's all the in Christ realities and the message of faith rather than works, the message of faith rather than the law. All that encompassed in the authority of the believer, being raised up with Jesus, being made one with him, seated with him, far above all authority, principality, power, might, and dominion. And he made the church one with him in that seating. Hallelujah. All that. That's the mystery. He said this message that we have received, that we are stewards of this message. It's the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Say faithful. We've been given a trusteeship, Paul said. We're stewards of this message that we received. Amen. Now, whenever we were connected, when God sent us to, Pastor Debbie and I, to Rhema Bible Training Center, He connected us to someone that had received a stewardship. Now, that's not the only message in the body of Christ. There are other parts of the body of Christ. I remember the Bible said that we can't say to other parts of the body, we have no need of you. But wherever our place is in the body, that determines what our message is. And we've all got to do. We've all got to steward what God gave us. If I go, if I'm trying to preach everything that God has assigned other people to preach, you understand? Then I'm not doing being faithful to my sacred trust. I would say throughout, you know, the years, we hit on probably everything everybody's preaching, but just don't spend all our time there. You know, there's people that just spend a lot of time on water baptism. Well, we talk about water baptism, but we don't spend all our days there, you know. Amen. So, and there's a lot of other things, but here's the thing. We were given a sacred trust of this message. And Paul said it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. Say faithful. What does faithful mean? What does faithful mean? Well, somebody said just do the best you can. No, that's not faithful. That's not being faithful. The best you can is not faithful. That might be diligence, but it's not faithfulness. Amen. Paul said it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. That's the revelation that we received. I mean, what I have revelation of is what I preach. What changed my life, what God revealed to me, what lives big on the inside of me is what I preach, because it changed my life. And it'll do for anybody what it did for me. If they'll lay hold of it, if they'll renew their mind to it, if they'll sit and hear what the message is, it'll do for them what it does, because God didn't just do something special for me. This revelation is not just for us. If it was supposed to end with us, He wouldn't have sent us to go preach it. He sent us to preach it because He's trying to get it to everybody. Amen. So, anyway, let's keep moving here. What is this? He said it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, faithful with what? We talk about being faithful to God. What does that mean, be faithful to God? That means, one thing that means is with the message. Amen. The revelation that we have, we're a steward of it. Now, listen to me very carefully. A steward is not an owner of something. A steward, a better word for steward today is manager. I mean, I wouldn't say a better word, but a word that we use more, I'll put it that way. A word we use more today is a manager. Let's say you've got somebody managing a restaurant or managing a business or somebody else. They're not the owners of that. They're stewards, or they're managing what belongs to somebody else. When Paul said we're stewards of this message, of these mysteries of the gospel, we've been given a sacred trust and a commission. The commission was to go preach the message. When Paul said that, he's got the sacred trust and the commission to go preach it. When Paul said we've been given a stewardship and a commission to go preach it, and it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, he's saying we didn't come up with this message. It's not ours. It didn't originate with us. But we are responsible to take it to those God has entrusted us to take it to. Now, whenever I say that, people might think, okay, so you're saying, you're not the owner of it. You got it from Brother Hagin. No, Brother Hagin's not the owner of it.
That's right.
He didn't write Mark 11, 23 and 24. He didn't write Romans 10, 9 and 10. He didn't write the just shall live by faith. And he didn't write the Bible. That's God's word.
Amen.
We're not the originator of this book. We didn't come up with this message. We're the stewards of it. Now, you might think I'm exaggerating, but you read Jesus, especially the Gospel of John, Jesus himself didn't even claim to have originated the message he preached. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. He was a steward of what God said to him to say. And he just did what God said to him to do. Whoa. Well, that's the way we are. And it's required of us that we be found faithful. So, what does faithfulness mean in that context? Faithfulness means if you're a manager of a restaurant and you're a good steward of what you've been entrusted with, that doesn't mean you just do the best job you can. It means do exactly what the owner tells you to do, and serve the meals just, if it's a restaurant, for example, serve the meals just the temperature they told you to, serve it cooked just the number of minutes they told you to. You do it exactly like they said. You present it. You walk out with it on your arm, just like you treat the customer, just like I told you to. A steward is not somebody just doing the best they can. It's doing exactly what they were assigned to do. Take for example, if you're going to mow my grass, I say, here's the way I'd like to have it mowed. I want it striped, just like this. Stripe it this way, across this way. Don't just go around and around and around. Go striped like this. And you say, okay, I'll do it. And I go out there, and here you are going around and around and around. I say, hold on, wait. I wanted it striped. And you said, well, this is the way I do it at my house. Wait a minute. That's not this. You're not at your house. Right? You're at my house. I'm the owner. I'm entrusting you with the stewardship of mowing my grass. That means if you're going to be faithful, you're going to do it the way I ask. At your house, do it however you want. Chop it up, chop it in half, chop whatever. Do whatever you want. Right? Go in circles, go in zigzag, whatever you want. Do whatever you want. But at my house, because you're not the owner of this grass, do it the way I ask. Amen. And this is what he said we have been given. We've been given a sacred trust. Preach it just like it was delivered to you. That's what we're doing. We're preaching it just like it's been delivered to us. We're taking what we heard and just saying it, just probably saying some of the exact same phrases. Are you trying to be like Brother Hagin? Well, nobody can do that. We don't have his personality. We don't have his mannerisms, anything like that. But the message, we're trying to be as accurate as we got it, as accurate as we saw it in the Word. As accurate as we can see it in the Word. It was delivered to us. The revelation came to us. And we got to get this message out. This is part of the end time message. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So that's what faithfulness is. A steward is a manager of somebody else's property. Hallelujah. And we've got to take this message to this generation. How many of you know better now what Spirit of Faith Family Church is all about? We're teaching, and God gave me more specific focus in on, emphasize the Spirit of Faith. And we got to talk more about that. Amen. But see, we're taking what we've been had entrusted to us to this generation. And we're using different tools. Brother Hagin didn't have the internet as much, except right at the end, of course. But we're using some different tools. But it's the same message. And we got more things we got to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus in John 7:16 said, my doctrine is not my own, but him that sent me. In other words, it didn't originate with me. He didn't even take credit for the revelation. The doctrine we have is not our own. It's the Word of God. Amen. Didn't originate with us. We didn't figure it out. We're the stewards of it. Somebody else's property. This is not our property. This is somebody else's property. Well, I got a better idea. God's looking for some people that don't have a better idea. This is the best idea. The best idea is the just shall live by faith. Not just get saved by faith, live by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Steps of walking in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Hallelujah. That means in every area of life. Living means every area. Every area of life. And your finances, concerning your mind, concerning your family, concerning your love walk, concerning your body. We live by faith. I said we live by faith. And we take this message to whoever will receive it. Hallelujah. If people count themselves unworthy of it, we'll just go preach it somewhere else. Our reward is not dependent on who receives it. Our reward is how well we proclaimed it. How accurate we were. How good of a steward we were. How accurate we are to what this actually says. Listen, vast numbers of the body of Christ, ministers in the body of Christ, are still preaching sovereignty. Just leaving it up to God. We've been assigned to change that. Because Jesus in his own hometown could there do no mighty work. It wasn't that he just was sovereignly doing it. There he couldn't do anything. And he marveled because of their unbelief. We got to get that message across to people. We got to get that message across. Well, why don't we? Why is God this? Some people get it. Some people don't. It's not a matter of God being sovereign and he loves somebody else and doesn't love you. It's the just shall live by faith. It's faith that lays hold. Fight the good fight of faith. Israel and the Canaan's entering into Canaan's land is a type of the church world entering into the blessings of God, and they went in by faith.
Yes. Yes.
It was unbelief that kept them out, and we got to preach that to people. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I done that, and I done preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So the Jewish Bible here in this is in 1 Corinthians 4:2 now, where he talks about it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. The complete Jewish Bible says the one thing that is asked of a trustee, there's the word. That's also a word for manager or steward. One thing that's asked of a trustee is that he be found trustworthy. Trustworthy to do what? To handle the master's message in the way instructed by the master. We don't have a better idea. Amen. The Lord needs people that just don't have a better idea. How are you going to have a better idea than him? This is the best way to live you've ever found. Stop trying to figure it out yourself and just say, okay, I'm going to renew my mind to this. And life will be different. Life will be different. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. The Living Bible said the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to. That includes preaching just what he said in his word. We've been given, listen, I'll tell you what ministers will rise and stay around and which ones will fall and go off the scene. The ones that stay closest to the word will have the longevity and remain on the scene. The ones that start coming up with new doctrines, eventually you'll see them go off the scene. I didn't even know it. Some of the people that came up with some of the modern day church things that aren't even scriptural, to be honest with you. I just found out recently one of them just fell in the ministry and they're gone. Church is falling apart, splintering up, going. And Dr. Frame prophesied that would happen. He said the flesh churches would go into corruption. Amen. Watch who lasts and watch who goes into oblivion. I'm interested in longevity. Anybody interested in longevity? That's how important this message is. God blesses what he says and those preaching what he says, and his blessing cannot be on people just saying their own opinions. He'll bless people as far as he can. But the more accurate they are to the stewardship, the better steward they are of the message. Oh, now there's a place he can bless. There's a place he'll move. There's the place where the supply is. That's where all the needs are met, so forth and so on. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight? He told us to preach faith. Somebody said he did? Yeah. I told you about how he told us. He told us when he told Brother Hagin. He told us whenever he said, I want you to keep preaching faith. Praise the Lord. So he told us to preach faith, and we're sticking with it. And he gave it to us as a trust. And whenever we get to heaven, he's not going to say, how big a church did you have? He's going to say, how good did you steward the message that I gave you? You ever notice rewards aren't based on you know, size of ministry or anything?
No,
rewards are based on faithfulness.
Amen.
Well done, thou good and
faithful.
Now you know what faithfulness is.
Yes.
Accurate.
Accurate.
Accurate to the message.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, there's much more we could say. We're about out of time. Anybody want to look at one more verse?
Yes, sir.
Go over to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 is another place Paul talks, or kind of uses some of this language, talks a little bit about the trust that he was given. Colossians 1:25. And let's read verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Listen to some other translations. It comes out a little bit clearer. Amplified, I became a minister in accordance with the divine stewardship, which was entrusted to me for you as its object and for your benefit to make the word of God fully known among you. That was his stewardship. He was given. Notice the Amplified says, I was made a minister in accordance with the divine stewardship which was entrusted to me. We know from other passages what he's talking about, the message.
Yeah,
I was given a message and, of course, an anointing to help him preach that. You understand? But I was given this message and to fully, notice the Amplified finishes this, said, to make the word of God fully known among you. I was given a commission to go make this message known. Paul, Satan tried to stop Paul everywhere he went. It wasn't about Paul, it was about the message.
Yes, sir.
That's what spiritual warfare is over. It's over the light of the message. And then we read, and this is that was the Amplified, the Phillips translation of this same passage says, I am made a minister of the church by divine commission. I like that. Ministers are sent on a divine commission. Especially if God called them. And if they just decide to go, that's not a divine commission. Sent on a divine commission. A commission granted to me for your benefit and for a special purpose, that I might fully declare God's word. So you can see here what the stewardship was, what the trust was, and you can see what the commission, to take that word and go preach it. Hallelujah. When we say we should be faithful, what are we talking about? We're talking about being faithful with that message. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. So that's what this church is about. Let's go demonstrate it. Let's preach it. See, it's not just to be preached here in these with these walls around us, within these walls. You take it and you get it into other people's hands, whether it be, you know, the vault, whether it be you telling them, sharing verses with them, whether it be, videos or something. Find books. Get books in the bookstore. Let's get this message out. What do you say? We're not just down here doing our own thing. We've been entrusted with a message. Praise the Lord. And you're part of that commission. If you're under the sound of my voice tonight, you're part of that commission. Let's get it out. What do you say?
Amen.
This is not an irrelevant message. This is pertinent. It works. It is very practical for everyday living. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil hates it, but we're going to keep on preaching it. The devil says, oh, just go preach this and preach that and give up. You know, people fail to receive sometimes, not because God failed, but because they didn't receive. They went off half-cocked, only half knowing what we're preaching.
Yeah,
well, so that didn't work, so I guess we'll stop preaching that. That's exactly what the devil wanted you to do. This is not, the authority to preach it is not based on who receives it and who doesn't, and who walks by faith and who doesn't. It's based on the fact that it's God's message. That's what gives you the authority to preach it. Amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We've been given a trust.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to do our part. Are you going to do your part?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. For us who have this message, we might say, we've heard this thousands of times. Yeah, but there's people that you come in contact with every day who still don't have a revelation of what we're talking about. It is appalling sometimes how much this message has been preached and yet how blind some Christians still are to it.
Yes, sir.
It's appalling.
Yes, sir.
The devil helps people not to get this message. There are millions and even billions of people out there knowing somewhere there's an answer. Guess what? You and I've got it. You and I've got it. They're looking for us. I said, they're looking for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get the message out.